who knows what drones and driverless vehicles will bring, but I guarantee they will bring more change, and they are a lot closer than you may realize. The smartphone has changed and continues to change the customer my members serve every day. And customers increasingly demand highly customized offerings, not only to their email and their web browser, but literally as they wander in and around their stores as they go about their daily routine. I drive down Monroe Street in Springfield to get to the Capitol every morning, and my Starbucks app will remind me about a half mile out that Starbucks, as if I need reminding, is on the left-hand side. And all I have to do is swipe it to the left, and the app pops up, and I scan it, and I leave. No cash changes hands. The customer wants the same sort of customization, ease of service, and interaction that they get on their smartphone at brick-and-mortar stores. You walk down a grocery store aisle for your favorite cereal, you turn into aisle 7 or whatever it is, they expect a coupon if there's one available to shop up for that particular brand of cereal. You can also scan each item that you purchase and coupons pop up. Some apps will tell you what might be a better buy. The customization started with loyalty programs, and then they moved to radio frequency ID tags. But change now is happening so rapidly that even before they have fully implemented RFID tags, I don't know, does anyone know what RFID tags are? They're these extraordinarily tiny tags that you put in labels or on products, and they send out a very small, short-range signal. But before these are even fully implemented, they're now moving to geolocation information and biometrics. I wonder if you remember this scene from the 2002 movie Minority Report. Tom Cruise is walking through a passageway, if you will, and he and other consumers, as they do so, ads start to pop up that are individualized just for them on these boards. Tom, are you feeling like getting away to Aruba? And the ad pops up. Some lady walks by and wants to know that the ad advertises some sort of wine for her. It's that kind of hyper-customization to which we're ultimately headed. Now, some of us who are a bit older get a little concerned about privacy in those kind of areas. But I guarantee you, the younger generation that's behind us don't even think about it. They don't perceive of privacy the same way you and I, who are a little bit older, might do. And they're willing to trade a little bit of that for the highly customized offerings and the service maximization that it can generate. But if you think about it, they're really nothing more than the natural evolution of the loyalty shopping card perhaps our parents used to carry. Depending on your age, you know, the old jewel card that you used to show at the checkout. And not only do customers want this highly personalized experience, they want it instantly available. So brick and mortar stores are trying to adjust to this as well. You can check now to see if an item's in stock, at what store, how soon it will be there if it's not in stock, or how quickly it can be delivered to a location of your choice. You want something even faster? In the not too distant future, I bet you'll be able to produce much of what you want, your own items, using a 3D printer at home. Simply buy the material, program the material, and voila, you have your own customized shoes, shirt, tool, whatever it is you might conceive, manufactured in your home to your exact specifications. But one of the enduring advantages of brick and mortar retail is the opportunity for the consumer to interact directly with a variety of products. And the transition to using this advantage while meeting the consumer where they are is well underway. Pop-up stores are starting to gain traction. So you might not have a Best Buy, let's say, standing in one spot. It may be there for a couple months, and then it will move to another location, maybe within your area and maybe outside of your area. You'll have stores on wheels, much like the old Schwan Food Service. I'm dating myself, I get it, but stick with me. If you go to the farmer's market in Springfield, each week there are some ladies that have purchased a trailer. It's not a very big trailer, but it is not selling any foods, jams, or baked goods. It is selling women's fashion and accessories. They have limited supply, but the supply that they have is a good variety, and it's of excellent quality. And what they don't have, they can order for you. They're bringing the store to you. Those will continue to proliferate, I believe. But brick and mortar will always have, I think, the advantage in whatever form it takes, because there's nothing like the instant gratification of touching or experiencing the product you want, the keywords being at least the first time you buy it. I might want to be able to get my shirt and try it on the first time, but after that, I can go to Brooks Brothers or wherever I might choose to purchase it and buy it online and have it shipped to me. Technology may also quickly eclipse this approach. Companies have developed electronic mirrors and virtual dressing rooms. My experience with this 3 years ago, and they have already moved beyond it, but you stand in front of a mirror, you touch the mirror. You touch color, you touch what you want, and it shows you in that, in my case, a suit, someone else's case, a dress, how you might move, how it moves with you, how it looks. You can change colors, you can add accessories to it. It all occurs in front of you, and it can save your profile, and you can take it with you. You don't want what Macy's has to offer, you go to the next place, and you'll load it into the electronic mirror of the dressing room, and it's done there. I can't tell you what a joy this would have been when my wife and I, with our kids, were much younger, and we were trying to keep them all corralled to have that kind of convenience. But there's no need to grab an armful of clothes to go there, or you might be limited to three items for loss prevention purposes and go back and get three more. It all occurs right for you there. You're going to be able to do this someday in your home. There are now being testing, beta testing, iPhones being able to do it. It's a little rough, but they're testing that type of approach. And think about the impact that has. Today, 30% of items that are purchased online are returned. If you can cut into that, think what it does and how it changes the business plans for UPS and FedEx and the amount of trackage and packages they carry. It's going to negatively impact their business and force them to adjust. You're not certain about a certain item, like a chair or a table, it's no problem. Take a picture of your room, send it to an app, and see how the chair looks. Or take a panoramic photograph of the room in question, upload it, and arrange your entire room on your iPhone or iPad, full of furniture. Pick out the patterns, the selection of lighting, the coloring on the wall. You can do that. Need help with a product? Simply ask a digital assistant with whom you can share your screen selections or more general questions. No more guessing, no more hunting down a salesperson, no more having a salesperson following you and feeling like you're a little bit like you're being stalked. Although they're just there to help. But someone who's available to you whenever you want them. 1 o'clock in the morning, they're there. And the changes that are occurring in artificial intelligence will move that service along at ways we can't even imagine. They will be able to anticipate what you want or what color you might want or what variations you might want. Checkouts are just around the corner that you go in, you pile your items in your cart, and you don't even break stride as you walk out to your door and you're paid because it is linked to your form of payment and you're out the door and on your way. Technology has also substantially lowered the investment needed to become a retailer, which further challenges traditional brick and mortar retailer in terms of competitors. The barriers to the entry to the marketplace have never been lower. Entrepreneurs, particularly younger entrepreneurs, are launching businesses on social media, including Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. No investment in storefront, little investment in inventory. They can just order it on demand when they need it. All of this is challenging traditional retailers. One uncomfortable result, which gets us back to store closings, is significantly less tolerance for marginal stores. It used to be that chains, in particular, had some tolerance for a location or a number of locations to operate at or below their profit margin. Those days are gone. If you had said to me 10 years ago that a CVS or Walgreens would close a store, I would have laughed at you. Today, within the last year, they've each closed a couple hundred of them. Traditional brick and mortar need that capital to invest in the technological changes that I've been describing and that they need to compete in this technological world. It's also led to the changes in malls, particularly indoor malls, and I realize this is a sensitive subject given the condition of one of the malls here in town. But are malls dead? And I'm going to argue no. They, like all of us, are going to have to change in this space. They are not going to be as they once were. They're going to be repurposed. They're going to have to be far more engaging and interactive, just as brick and mortar is going to be with the consumer. The consumer doesn't just want the selection, the demand, the customized offerings. They want to be entertained and they want interaction. And malls are going to have to provide that as well. And they're experimenting now with bowling alleys, movie theaters. But they're also going to get into non-traditional mall stores. Some malls are starting to attract grocery stores. 5 years ago, that would have been unthinkable. Nobody wanted a grocery store in a mall. Now they want grocery stores in malls. Malls are looking at becoming medical offices, schools, being repurposed in that fashion, residences, government offices, or some combination thereof. They might very well become a center for mixed living. But they're not dead. I always thought and continue to believe that history is somewhat circular. Things keep coming around, common themes keep happening, but you're always going forward. But think about what I referenced a little bit today. Pop-up stores and stores on wheels, they aren't much different from the covered wagons or door-to-door sales. They're just a different means of doing it. Loyalty cards and apps are the same idea. It's just a different delivery method. It's a back-to-the-future approach, and I think I believe we're seeing that in retail to the point that things are almost coming full circle. Additional proof to this point comes from the fact that traditional brick-and-mortar retailers are feverishly working to incorporate technology into their selling techniques, the same technology that remote sellers use. But at the same time, remote sellers are trying to figure out how to incorporate brick-and-mortar storefronts into what they do best. Amazon is experimenting in Seattle with grocery stores. Amazon is opening bookstores. there is a value there. There's at some point that they both meet, or they wouldn't be looking at it, right? Brick and mortar isn't dead.